Good morning, everybody.
Zach and the Bellevue people did very well this morning. For the last month, we've been in a series titled Romans Road. As a bit of review, we know that Romans Road is an evangelism method for teaching lost people what it means to be saved. There are four main points in this Romans Road series that should be pretty easy for you all to have memorized by now. Is Gianna here today? Gianna, what are the 4 points? Gianna comes to Wednesday night, so she gets a double dose. Sorry to put you on the spot, Gianna. Yep, what's the first one? We are all... What's the second one? We're all sinners. Our sin has... Jesus died for sinners like us, and when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised us from the dead, we will be saved. Amen? There are four Bible verses linked to these 4 points. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. In Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And this Romans 10:9 is our verse of the day today. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now remember, I've made up a story for us to kind of relate to throughout this, and we're following a few characters. We've got Lost Larry, Save Sam, Crazy Katie, and Billy Believer. Now, Crazy Katie and Billy Believer are minor characters, and they're pretty much out of the story at this point. Save Sam and Lost Larry are the stars of the show. In this story, Save Sam, takes his friend Lost Larry on a road trip down Romans Road. Before this road trip, Lost Larry is... Yeah, thank you. Y'all are really picking this up. But throughout the road trip, Larry has been confronted with his sin. He has understood that his sin has consequences. He realizes through the gospel message that Jesus died for sinners like us. And today he is going to confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. So to quickly recap this tale of two friends, Save Sam and Lost Larry pop their tires on the road trip. Larry gets frustrated that he's losing $1,500. Billy Believer comes along and picks him up in the tow truck. Billy is a jovial tow truck driver, and he shares his testimony with Sam and Larry. I'm forgetting their names. Remember, Billy had gone to jail because he was delinquent in his child support payments, and that's where he was introduced to Jesus. So... Larry, through this testimony, has realized that he is sinful. And he has felt the consequences of his own sin. So as Larry and Sam continue driving down this Romans road, they see a billboard that says, Jesus died for sinners like you. And it was at this point that Larry saw the sign and had full confidence that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection counted for him. In the car that day, Larry confessed with his mouth that he believed that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection counted for him, and he was going to put all of his faith in Jesus Christ. This means that Larry is no longer lost. Larry has been saved. And it was not church attendance that saved him. It was not grandma's prayers that saved him. It was not Sunday school that saved him. It was not VBS that saved him. It was not walking the aisle that saved him. It was not baptism that saved him. It was not a sacrament that saved him. It wasn't his friend's faith that saved him. It wasn't his good behavior that saved him. And it was not his charitable donations that saved him. The only thing that saved Larry was the grace of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for his sins. Larry got to a point in his life when he realized he was a low-down, black-hearted sinner in need of a Savior. And fortunately, Larry had a friend named Sam who knew Jesus and knew the message of the gospel. And Sam shared the gospel with Larry and was saved. But this is not always the case. Many of us have had very few people in our lives that were saved. This means that before we were saved, we were lost people surrounded by lost people. At some point, if we were truly saved, We recognize our own sinfulness, and we heard the gospel, and it impacted us in a supernatural way, and we believed it. Now, I am finished with Lost Larry and Saved Sam, and I want to tell another story that's a little more personal to me. Now I'm going to talk about Terrible Tink. It's not funny. Before I talk about Terrible Tink, I'm going to ask you all's permission if I can be honest and authentic. Would you rather me be honest and authentic, or would you rather me sugarcoat everything? Okay, good. Yep, I can either tell you a real story about how Jesus saved me and all the struggles and temptations that remained in my life, or I can tell you a fake story about how I was saved and my life became super clean and perfect. And I know you all want the honest story. So here's the clean and fake story first. I was saved, I was baptized, I joined my local church. I didn't sin much. I enrolled in seminary. I became a pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church. Now, parts of this story are true, but it's not the whole truth. Here's the quick, or that's not the quick story. Here's the real story. Let me hydrate here. Back in 2016, I was as lost can get. I was confused. I was disgruntled. I was unhappy with the way my life was going. And I started to share some of my problems with a neighbor of mine who was an associate pastor of a church, which I did not attend. I initially didn't like the guy. He was pushing Christianity on me, and I always made fun of Christians because I had no faith in Jesus. But this guy pursued me with the love of Jesus that was different than I had ever felt or seen. So I trusted this guy, and he explained the gospel to me over and over. And just like Larry in our story, I turned from my sin and I turned towards God. I believed the gospel and I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was baptized a few weeks later and I joined the local church so I could be discipled well. I joined the church so I could be held accountable by other Christians. I joined the church so that I could help make disciples of all the nations, as the Great Commission says. Sorry. Getting hot telling my own story here. I went from a scoundrel to a super clean and well-spoken Christian overnight. Now, that's not true. I made that part up. Isn't that what's supposed to happen? We are saved and Jesus heals us of all of our sins right on the spot. And we don't struggle. We are saved and Jesus heals us of all of our sins right on the spot. And we don't struggle and scratch and claw our way through life anymore. Isn't that what's supposed to happen? That's not what happened to me. Jesus only healed me of one sin at the point of my salvation. I went from unbelief to belief. This is good news because there is only one unforgivable sin, and that is your unbelief in Jesus. I'm running out of breath. That's the sin that sends you to hell. This unbelief is what sends you to hell. All the rest of your sin, Jesus forgives. So Jesus did heal me of one sin, my unbelief. I used to not believe in Jesus, and now I did. That was the only initial change. I was saved, and this is good news. I was saved. Jesus plucked his hand down from heaven and chose me, of all people, to inherit the kingdom of God. I really do believe this. It's like he tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're with me now," and I said, "You are right." Now we were on the same team. But guess what? All other sin in my life still existed. I can't tell you how many times in that first year I either showed up to church hungover or had to skip church because I was too hungover. I still cussed like a sailor at work and at home. I still had plenty of lust in my heart. I still got angry when it didn't make sense. Some people have radical stories of remarkable change in their lives where they go from drug addict to clean overnight because of Jesus, and praise God for that story. The change in my life that happened was I went from a man that didn't believe in Jesus to a man that did believe in Jesus. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit of God was in me, but there was still plenty of sin. I still had problems personally. Me and Heather were married for 3 years at this point, and there were times when we weren't getting along, and I'd say there were even times when things weren't good at all, and she would say the same. But I'm a Christian. Isn't my life supposed to be good? Isn't my life supposed to be clean? Isn't my marriage supposed to be amazing? Aren't I supposed to have my life in order when I come to Jesus? All that sounds good, but that's not really how it works. Here's how it works. You come to Jesus in faith with all of your sin, and at the point of your salvation, your genuine salvation, Jesus heals you of your unbelief. But it's quite possible that you still have your lust and your greed and your envy and your hatred and your drunkenness and your anger and your laziness and your apathy and your bitterness and your foul mouth and your gluttony and your idolatry. Y'all getting tired of these sins yet? Or your comparison or your gossip or your slander. And here's how loving Jesus is. Are y'all ready for the home run ball? If you are saved for the rest of your life, Jesus is going to squeeze that dirty mess out of you. So this means if you're genuinely saved, you likely have plenty of sin in your life. The good news is God is going to refine you every single day. Through this refining process, all of your sin is going to bubble up and come to the surface. God is going to make your sin miserable to you. You might still sin. You might still occasionally enjoy your sin. But if you're truly saved, you will learn to hate your sin because your sin will make you feel distant from God, and you will learn to hate that feeling. If you're saved, God is going to refine your heart. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, God says, "And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver, and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God." Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3 says, "The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts." I want all the saved people in the room to raise your hand if you were saved and then you never sinned again. You better put that hand down. Now I want all the unsaved people and all the younger Christians in the room to look around at all the raised hands. You can turn your head. It doesn't mean you're unsaved if you turn your head, okay? There are no raised hands. Every one of us that are saved, if we were saved on a Friday, we woke up a sinner on a Saturday, didn't we? Sin doesn't just go away on its own. We have to learn to hate our sin. I would go as far to say that we have to learn to kill our sin. We have to learn to love God more than we love our sin. This isn't something that happens overnight. This takes a lifetime. This is why the mature Christian shouldn't get too upset if the new... Now, this is controversial here, and I'm sorry for it, but I believe it. This is why the mature Christian shouldn't get too upset if the new Christian shows up to church smelling like he might have self-medicated in the parking lot. This is why the mature Christian shouldn't get upset when the new Christian says a bad word. This is why the mature Christian shouldn't get too upset with the new Christian when he finds out that the new Christian is living with his girlfriend. Jesus heals us of our unbelief at the moment of our salvation, but some of this other stuff still remains, and the work of refinement is twofold. Now, I'm not saying any of that stuff is good. We obviously know that that stuff is not good. But God is in charge of refinement in the life of a Christian. The Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin if you're saved. It might take you time to stop medicating. It might take you time to clean up your language. It might take you time to realize that you need to marry the girl you're living with, or one of you needs to move out. Part one of refinement is that if you are saved, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin, and your sin will make you miserable. Part two of refinement, if you're a mature believer, you are in sin if you don't come alongside this new Christian and show him the way. So rather than fall into the sin of gossiping behind somebody's back about how sinful they are, come alongside them and try to help them fight their sin. Don't forget, I have to remind myself of this, don't forget how far God has brought you. Now, I plan to read Romans 6 this morning. I'm running out of breath and energy. Does anybody want to read all of Romans? I don't know if it's all of Romans 6. Does anybody want to volunteer to read that for me in this microphone? Miss Gianna, I'm giving you an opportunity to read if you want it. You'll take it? All right. So don't forget, come on up here. Don't forget how far God has brought you. But in this, all these verses that we've learned this month, the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote the book of Romans. All of these verses were written by Paul. Paul wrote a large portion of the New Testament. Come on up. Joshua, I've turned this microphone on a second. Paul was radically saved by Jesus on the road to Damascus in the year 34 AD. Paul wrote Romans in 58 AD. This means that Paul had been a Christian for 24 years when he wrote this very mature Christian letter to the Romans. He had 24 years of Christian experience that forged him to be able to write with such eloquence. If he was 24 days into his salvation, he couldn't have written this letter, I guarantee it. This letter was a warning to stop living in your sin when you're saved. And notice that the letter never mentions having no sin before coming to Christ. You can use this if you want.
Oh, I'm gonna give you your tablet.
That's fine. People would rather hear you read than me.
Okay.
Don't get nervous and read fast now. You're a fast reader. I'm going to sit down, take a break.
Okay, you have fun. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he has died, he died to sin, once for all. But the sin he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let us not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. You must obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one who you obey, either sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God, that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart of the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time of the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
You can clap. They don't clap for me, Jonah. We are all sinful, every one of us. Our sin has consequences. If we recognize that we are sinners, we have surely suffered the consequences of our sin. Jesus died for sinners like us. And when we respond in faith and confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior, we have been saved. You don't have to have all your other sin figured out before coming to faith in Jesus. If you have been saved, Jesus has healed you of your unbelief. If you have been saved, your next step of obedience is baptism. Remember, our verse of the day today is Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The best thing for you to do today, after hearing 4 weeks of this Romans Road message for the last month, is to admit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus will honor this confession if you confess him as Lord and Savior. Now, you always have the opportunity to do that until you die. Then you don't have the opportunity anymore. But you have a special opportunity today, always at church, to come forward and say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I've lived like trash for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and I'm ready to make Jesus the King of my life. That's what you can do here at this church today. And you will begin your journey of refinement where God will bring all the other sin. This is a hard process because you'll be made more aware of your sin. He'll bring all this other sin to the surface, and over time, He will make you holy. He will make you holy over time, and man, sometimes it feels like it takes a long time. Amen? I see Troy over there laughing. Look, at first, this new salvation likely won't make your life feel any easier. You will be saved. You will have belief in Jesus for the first time, but you will also feel more sinful than you've ever felt. I sort of compare it to getting on the treadmill for the first time. It's not easy. It's somewhat painful. You step on the treadmill, you start to realize some of the problems you have. You're a little too heavy. Your knees hurt. You're out of breath. Your legs hurt. But you're being sharpened by that treadmill. The Christian life is similar to this. You start walking with Jesus. He makes it more known to you how desperately you need Him. And your sin and despair will come to the surface for the glory of God. That's the Christian life. You walk hand in hand with Jesus, and He will refine your heart throughout your life so that you look more like Him. So if you're tired of sitting on the sidelines in your sin, confess your sin to the Lord and confess Him as Lord and Savior, not when you get home. I mean, do it then if you don't want to do it now, but do it now. Jesus, I want to follow You with my life. I'm a train wreck, and likely you're still going to be a train wreck. But what He'll heal you of is your unbelief, and your unbelief is what condemns you to hell. So say, Jesus, I want to follow You with my life. You can do that right now in this moment, and we can help, as a church, we can help you walk with Jesus to the best of your ability and to the best of our ability. And sometimes our ability is pretty weak, but we sure will try. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that somebody through this Romans Road series has been saved, that they see the simplicity in salvation, that You are King, You are Lord, and You are Savior, but we have to confess it. We have to believe it. And if we don't actually believe it, it's really for nothing. But Lord, I pray that something supernatural has happened in the heart of somebody here at this church throughout this series. And I pray, you know, if nobody's been saved, maybe there's just a question that needs to be had or a conversation that needs to be had. Lord, I pray that You're doing work in people's hearts. I know You've done a fine work at refining me over the years, and it is not easy. It's hot. It's, I don't know. It's just rough. It's really rough. But Lord, I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for the sanctification process. I'm grateful that You plucked me out of my sin and You saved me. Lord, I pray that somebody would take this seriously in this room today and make their faith known to You and to us right now in this moment. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.